state regulators say a Rhinelander paper mill was responsible for PFAS contamination. It's Wednesday, October 1st, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, how a government shutdown could affect Wisconsinites, and a look at the state's closure of two homes to help veterans. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
The current and former owners of a Rhinelander paper mill are responsible for widespread PFAS contamination in the northern Wisconsin town of Stella. As Danielle Kading reports, state regulators say that's based on the results of a Superfund site inspection.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources conducted the inspection on behalf of the Environmental Protection Agency. A recent report found PFAS levels in soil more than three times those typically seen in the area. Testing also detected the chemicals in 19 of 22 drinking water wells sampled. Some had PFAS levels thousands of times higher than federal drinking water standards. The DNR's Christine Seeger says they named paper companies responsible based on the findings.
Given the data, we think that it likely is from land spreading.
Municipal and industrial facilities, along with septic companies, have spread sludge and septage on farm fields in the Stella area since at least 1996. A spokesperson for the mill's current owner, Alstrom, says it's reviewing the report. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The federal government shut down after midnight. Now hundreds of thousands of federal workers will be furloughed. About 18,000 federal workers live in Wisconsin. Some will be deemed essential employees, meaning they'll be expected to keep working without a paycheck. Philip Rocco is a political scientist at Marquette University. He says other types of workers in Wisconsin might not immediately notice the shutdown.
Mail will still be delivered. Social security checks will keep flowing. Emergency responders, will remain on duty. Medicare and Medicaid payments will still go out to hospitals.
But Rocco says disruptions could start to become more apparent as time goes on and as agencies begin tapping into their backup funds. Two facilities helping homeless veterans in Wisconsin have closed. Rich Kramer reports state lawmakers are still arguing about who's to blame.
The buildings in Chippewa Falls and Green Bay provided shelter and substance abuse counseling under what's known as the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Governor Tony Evers' state budget proposal requested around $2 million in additional funding to keep them open. Republican lawmakers did not approve it and have claimed the governor could have used other funds. During a press conference Tuesday, Democratic State Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein said GOP leaders have continued to block attempts to reopen the facilities.
This is honestly just stating the facts of the timeline which led us to where we are today, which is these facilities closing and our veterans being rehoused and rehomed somewhere else.
The State Department of Veterans Affairs says around 40 veterans served by the facilities have transitioned to stable housing or other assistance programs. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin manufacturers are more confident about the economy than they've been since 2021. The nonprofit Wisconsin Center for Manufacturing and Productivity released its fifth annual Wisconsin Manufacturing Report this week. It includes the results of a survey of more than 400 companies. The report says 65% of manufacturers say the business climate is headed in the right direction. Buckley Brinkman leads the Wisconsin Center for Manufacturing and Productivity. He says manufacturers are split when it comes to tariffs.
It's a really interesting situation because there's half of the group that's totally against the tariffs, and it's clearly because it affects their business. They think it's just making their business harder to do.
The report says 72% of manufacturers say tariffs affect them. 55% say cost increases have been the biggest impact. Coming up, how one Wisconsin writer found comfort as a child. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about hope and recovery. And a quick heads up to listeners, this story mentions abuse.
People working through addictions or tough times in their lives often turn to things that bring comfort and support. Some turn to religion or a recovery coin or books. For writer Stacy Parrish of Appleton, she held on to something much more organic.
I used to lick rocks when I was a little kid. Oh, trust me, it's the least of my childhood oddities. But I'd lick them because I figured out that rocks are prettier when they're wet. The colors are so much more vibrant and detailed, and I'm an artist, so seeking colors in nature has always been my jam. I'd sit on top of a pile of landscaping rocks in front of the barn in our backyard, and I'd pick them up one by one, looking closely at each one of them, just to take in their colors and their textures. My pockets were always full of them. There wasn't a lot of safety in my world, but atop that pile of rocks, I felt safe. At home, I felt more like myself than anywhere else in the world, just sitting there seeking. It felt purposeful somehow, even if I was just licking rocks to see their pretty colors. I didn't grow up in a house full of seekers or with any faith to speak of, not really. My mom referred to herself as a recovering Catholic, and she told tales of the nuns that used to rap on her knuckles with a ruler. I always referred to her as a Catholic rebel because we always left Mass at communion so she could get out of the parking lot without any hassles, and she'd joke that the peace be with yous seemed to wear off when we all got into our cars. Inside Mass, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit just completely mystified me. It didn't compute. They were just names that I didn't connect to at all. The best part about church for me was that torn in half piece of doublement from the bottom of my mom's purse, even though it was covered in purse dirt and tasted like perfume. In my 30s, a need for faith revealed itself when I began to have memories of repressed abuse surface, and my perpetrators were my father, his son, and a cousin. So I did develop some faith, but it was in booze and weed and tequila. I suppose you could say I worshipped at the altar of Jose Cuervo. I found my way into recovery through a 12-step program. When I went to my first meeting, they gave me a plastic white poker chip to carry in my pocket in order to remind me to surrender to the program. And for a time, I did carry that chip around in my pocket and tried to surrender to the male version of God that I grew up with, but something about turning to the Father didn't feel right. My therapist sent me to a recovery retreat, and while there, we were gifted a token to help with our faith. A long table with a black tablecloth was covered in polished stones. Our leader let us know that we didn't need to fret over which rock to choose. She said, "You don't choose the rock. The rock chooses you." There were so many beautiful stones to choose from, and my gaze landed on a smooth purple one. It had these really cool striations in it, like a chevron, and it reminded me of a mountain that you can climb. I picked it up and held it. I looked at it real close. No, I didn't lick it, but I did start carrying it around in my pocket. A week or so later, after a 12-step recovery meeting, I noticed a pendant around a woman's neck, and I recognized it as the same rock that I was still carrying around in my pocket. Her pendant was wire-wrapped and just exquisite. I commented on it, and she said it was an amethyst. She said that she never took it off because amethyst is the stone of sobriety. And right then, I knew. I had gotten my rocks back, and my faith lived in them. They hold the energy of the earth and of goodness and hope. And if I ever feel afraid or lost or alone, I only need to reach into my pocket and hold on.
Stacy Parrish is a storyteller and podcast producer who lives in Appleton. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lolan Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Some clouds to start the day today, but things clearing throughout the morning. High temperatures in the 70s today with plenty of sunshine. Slight chance for a little bit of rain overnight, otherwise mostly cloudy with low temperatures down into the 50s. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, leave us a rating and review wherever you found the podcast today. It helps other listeners find the show. Plus, we love hearing what you think about the program. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.